Welcome to the Long Come Norwich podcast. For a population poised on the precipice of a pulsating, prideful, potentially painful derby, whilst we perhaps now all appreciate the positive potential playoff position we've procured, can we plunder the three most perfectly precious points? Connor joins me and Punt to preview a fairly meaningful kickabout. Connor, the scene is set for a belter at Carrow Road, Saturday lunchtime. How are your nerves?
Oh, I hate derbies. I really don't like them. They're not for me. The best bit about it is when the final whistle goes, and it's the relief of, in my experiences anyway so far, not having lost the game. So, yeah, I've fully enacted Operation JDL, which is just don't lose. I've got a semi-conscious memory of Ipswich beating Norwich, but I've never seen them in the flesh beat Norwich. So that's a record I'd like to have still standing come, 3 o'clock, slightly later on Saturday afternoon.
Well, that's the mad thing. You're not in the minority. You know, there are a huge amount of season ticket holders who have had season ticket holders for a good decade or so who've managed to avoid that. Punt, I can't say that I'm in that camp. I have felt the pain, but not since a young lad.
You weren't that young in, 2009 or whenever it was?
No, like, I was young lad. Shush, I was young.
I'm not having that, my man. It's quite worrying, isn't it? I say this a lot pre-derby, and I think it's just self-preservation more than anything. It feels like it might be their time, but more so than ever right now. They've got their bad run out of their system. They're all systems go in terms of, you know, promotion push. And they look like a really well-coached team, which is quite annoying. But two, they're just having all the luck at the moment in terms of like decisions and, you know, offsides and disallowed goals and all of that kind of stuff. And you just like, they feel, and all right, the parallels are really easy to draw because of the double promotion that Paul Lambert's team achieved. But they do feel like momentum-wise, and the fact that they are more than the sum of their parts, it's just very Lambert-esque. And that really, really worries me. At the same time, like, we're at home. We've been playing really, really well at home for some games. And Josh Sargent can't stop scoring goals at Carrow Road. So, look, I think we're going to net. It's just, can we keep Ipswich out?
Well, no, I don't think we can keep them out. I don't think there's any question of that. It's can we hold our nerve if they do get the dreaded second goal? I mean, because I think that was the key in the you know, because everything you said in terms of, you know, self-preservation is everything you said going into the previous game. And we were in way worse form before that. And, you know, our pre-derby pod then was very much, you know, can we escape with just losing by two? You know, we were really, really worried. All of that is true, except the form looks much better now. Connor, is it a case of... that derby, had they got the second goal, I think the way that it was going, the momentum in that game, it could have got out of hand, I think, especially with how fragile the mentality was then. Do you think that almost the most important goal on Saturday is the second goal?
Yeah, to an extent, I would add to that. I think, I mean, I was at Portman Road. I've been at Portman Road on multiple occasions, unfortunately. And that was the loudest and kind of the best that I've experienced pre-derby. And I almost felt that they'd gone too far. And we obviously had the stuff pre-game. Then they didn't get the early goal and they missed a few opportunities early on. And I actually feel if they'd have got an early goal, if Nathan Broadhead would have slotted into the net from that one, which he took round Shane Duffy and I think a few others, then I think we'd have got into a situation where it would have been 2-3-4 and got really ugly. The fact they didn't do that, and Norwich, and, you know, it's interesting that Punt mentioned about Ipswich's luck. Norwich probably had a little bit of luck on that day to survive and get themselves back into the game. But I think you're right, there was an element of that, because as soon as Norwich scored, it felt like someone had popped a balloon in that place, and it never really recovered, even when they were maybe pushing for a winner late on. So I think you're right, there is an element of that, because the second goal, I think, will be absolutely key for whichever team gets it, because if it's an equaliser, you tend to find you get a little bit of momentum. And if it's if you're taking the lead, then obviously it gives you an opportunity to, or a cushion and an opportunity to go and extend that further. So yeah, I think there's an element of truth into that. And I think it's also key that, you know, and maybe this is slightly easier for Norwich because of the run that they've been on over a longer period. But I think it is important that there is kind of a management of some of those emotions and some of those nerves and whatnot. And ultimately, it's going to be up to the players to do that, isn't it?
So, Punt, who do you think we need the biggest performance from? You know, let's go into some specifics. Who do you think has to show up on Saturday? Beyond Sarge, you mentioned him in terms of continuing that goal scoring run. Who beyond him, do we need at least an 8.5 out of 10 for us to make sure we're taking a point or more?
I don't think it's Sargent in terms of his goal scoring. I think it's Sargent in terms of his intensity, because I've said it on this pod before, he sets the intensity for Norwich. You know, absolutely, the fact that he defends from the front, he harries, the way that, you know, his enthusiasm, you know, almost is infectious. Ashley Barnes looks a way better and more energetic player, although maybe not over the last couple of games, but it's certainly most of the time when he's been put alongside Josh Sargent, he's looked way better for it, you know, because of the fact that he has legs around him. I would actually pinpoint someone like Shane Duffy, because it feels like the injury to Sorensen is definitely going to take him out of the firing line. And I think Norwich have to be really, really careful with the ball when they have possession and not allow Ipswich to turn it over quickly. And it felt against Leicester that we were quite susceptible to that they seemed like they had our number a little bit in terms of being able to play out from the back. And I just worry if we can see too much possession against Ipswich. One, you're not going to get it back as quickly as you'd want, and as quickly as against most other sides in this division, just, you know, by virtue of the fact that Ipswich play that brand of football. But two, it just feels like, again, you know, kind of momentum is so big in derby games. So yeah, I'd say someone like Shane Duffy, who's coming in with relatively, well, hardly any game time at all, but should hopefully have the kind of seasoned, experienced head for a derby.
How much do you think, Connor, on the game on Monday against Leicester, it was Shane Duffy's kind of lack of ability to play out compared to what we had on Friday against Plymouth versus that Wagner approach in away games, which is sometimes, if we're playing anyone that's around us or above, we seem to be extremely reticent to take any kind of risks, including, you know, from our completely changing our standard way of playing out from the back.
Yeah, I think it's a multitude of both. Clearly, having Duffy there is different. And I actually think it's interesting because you've kind of got a trade off this weekend if Kiefer Moore is fit, and there's a little bit of doubt around that this weekend, because you're kind of going to need his aerial ability and what is quite a unique threat at kind of championship level to squash what Kiefer Moore brings to a side. But then that does bring with it, I think, by virtue of him and the type of defender that he is, probably a weakened ability to play out from the back, which is something that Wagner's team is really keen on. And so there's an element of trade-off there that they need to negotiate. And whether that is, I don't know, dropping Kenny McLean in as a left-sided one, I don't know. Whether that's slightly altering the way that the midfield operate around him, I'm not sure. That's one for the coaches. But I mean, in Monday, I thought it was a combination of both, if I'm honest. I thought they weren't good enough on the ball, and that probably created this sense of hot potato that they had when they had it, and suddenly that created a lot more panic. It was partly structure as well, and I just found it completely baffling, really, because for 20 minutes or however long it was before Gabriel Sara scored, that they were competitive to an extent in that game, and there was at least some decent attempts to foray forward, and I can understand going to Leicester and, you know, looking to be compact and tight and trying to frustrate to an extent. But to me, it was like they went 1-0 up and just kind of regressed and went into the bunker. And that, for me, was really disappointing, because you look at someone like Josh Sargent, I think he really would have fancied a proper game against Vestergaard and Face. And Borja Sainz was getting in behind them. Norwich City didn't have to retreat in the way that they did. And that's ultimately, I think, where people will come into the approach element of it. It felt to me, having reflected on it, that it was almost a game where a lot of people kind of went, oh, well, it's Leicester, we'll get beat anyway. And I didn't think it needed to be like that, because there was a real competitive edge to it, and they kind of surrendered that. And actually at 1-1, I turned to Paddy and said, look, it almost needs a Leicester goal here just to open it back up again and to get Norwich out. And that's really, I think, frustrating, particularly given the run that they've been on. So I can understand why they did what they did, but equally, I felt it was really unnecessary and so drastic in the nature of it. There was probably a better balance to have been found in that particular game.
I think that the inflexibility that there appeared to be on Monday is something that Middlesbrough aside, where obviously we had that sending off that was overturned and that clearly impacted the game, it was a stick that was being used to beat Wagner with, but that really that criticism hasn't been able to be levelled at him for the vast majority of 2024, you know, which we are now kind of into the fourth month of. You know, he didn't seem to have a way of getting us going, to your point, without then going behind. There was a kind of element of being shell-shocked. I don't think the crowd will allow that to happen on Saturday. My concern is how quickly we might see patience run out if they were to get an early goal on Saturday, Ipswich, because it would be a really good test of actually has Wagner won round all of the detractors and have actually they had nothing to complain about because of the results and because of where we're sitting in the table. Actually, could that all evaporate really quickly, punt, as soon as all of a sudden it's Norwich 0, Ipswich 2? Like, you know, would that bring Boo Boys out at halftime?
If it's 2-0 and the performance is really tepid, then people are going to kick off. And you saw that in a really limited fashion against Plymouth, you saw there was audible signs of frustration from certain parts of the ground in terms of, well, you know, even when Angus Gunn had the ball, or, you know, I sit in the Barclay Upper now and there is an absolute tirade of get up forward, you know, like, which is just feels absolutely perplexing to me, because every time we do get up forward, like, we will concede possession because, you know, we've punted it up, you know, kind of in a pressured way.
On that point, before you move on from that point, though, whilst I'm not in the get up forward part
or
of
get,
the...
Or get rid of it.
Get rid of it. I'm not quite in that group of fans, as entitled as they are to their valid opinions. Angus Gunn was, it felt to me, almost deliberately like trapping the ball and putting his foot on the ball, almost to see how, a bit like sometimes when a keeper, when they're defending like a 2-goal lead or a 1-goal lead in the last 5 minutes, will almost see how far can I push this goal kick before I get booked. There just seemed an element that Gunn was like, how long can I put my foot on the ball before I get booed?
But the deliberate act is, right, come on then, I'm going to try and, you know, kind of actually commit a man we can, you know, do two quick passes and we're out, and you've played through the press and then actually Norwich should be all the better for it. There's a real argument as to whether Norwich are actually any good at that, or whether it's just, you know, get it to the likes of Gabby Sarah or Borja Sainz and then just go from there. But no, I think, look, people have, it's really interesting to observe the social media discourse and how many people went after Wagner and his tactics after the Leicester game. There is still, and I don't think it will ever go away, there is still an undercurrent that where I think, you know, you're probably only two, three, I think it was probably one or two bad performances off absolute unrest. I think we're now three or four performances off absolute unrest, but it's still there because, and it has felt like this all season, everything still feels completely temporary because there is no certainty about Wagner and whether he's going to be the coach beyond this season. And there's no certainty about what Norwich City are going to do and the players that they're going to have at their disposal, you know, given the contractual situations of many players. So there is still this feeling of limbo. I know we've talked about it before that, you know, it feels like, right, well, or it felt like everyone was just on the same page and it was like, right, these last 10, 15 games, and we're now obviously into the last six games, I think, isn't it? Everyone will just get together and it'll all be fine. But I don't know, I don't want to be really negative going into the derby, but it might feel like a poor result against Ipswich coupled with, you know, kind of another tricky result could be enough for people just to start getting audibly quite annoyed again. I don't actually think that will happen. As much as I'm going in self-preservation mode, and I think Ipswich are now in the part of the season where there's going to be a lot of nerves. There's going to be a hell of a lot of nerves because they know they're on the cusp of something. Let's not dress it up. Really, really special, you know, as it was when we did it with Paul Lambert. And they are, I hate to say it, they're doing it in more impressive fashion at the moment. The fact that, you know, they are right up the top of the division, but also averaging over 2 points a game. Whereas I think with Lambert, we went up with something like 85 or 86 points, you know, kind of a, we didn't labour to it, but there wasn't four outstanding teams in the division. There was two. But this is the time. This is the absolute time where we're going to find out what Ipswich are made of. And if we can just get into them, if we can just, you know, if Ashley Barnes can actually emerge as a shithouse, you know, the shithouse that we felt like we were going to get and we haven't really had this season. If Shane Duffy can stand up to the aerial threat of Kiefer Moore and actually get his foot on the ball a bit. If Gabriel Serra can run midfields like we know he can run them. I don't know. I think we can get at them. And it certainly...
But they haven't got a player as good as Gabby Serra.
And they haven't got a defence, like, to be honest. You know,
they
leak goals.
There's a reason that they have to keep getting 97th minute. That is the bit that's very Lambert, you know, and Farker. Effectively, lower league teams that get promotion are the teams that have a nine at the front of lots of their goal scoring minutes. You know, it is that is what kind of promotion is made of. Just keep on going, keep on going, keep on going. And that's belief and that's coaching and that's mentality and momentum, which they have managed to maintain. And that's a key element of why they are so much better than some of their parts. But to your point about not liking it up them, when Norwich genuinely started to rattle them in the away derby, that was when it felt much more equal. Ashley Barnes owes us in the derby. It was his error that led to their second goal in the derby away. Completely avoidable. Obviously there was a couple of chances to do something about it after that. But I also feel that Duffy owes us in terms of this season and his wages. I feel like he has not contributed to the extent that he would like to have been able to. Obviously some of that's been injury, but I don't think you can point to three or four commanding Shane Duffy performances where he was a key element of why we won a game. Derby is a fantastic, that's when you know, heroes write their name in Norwich City lore, of course. There are plenty of people who we remember for nothing other than what they did in the derby. But if those two, to your point, seasoned pros can play a role and enable the likes of Science, the likes of Sara, to do what they do brilliantly, I'm confident that we've got... we score goals for fun. Like, we are a really... I remember on the commentary on Monday, they said it. I don't understand why they're not getting the ball forward more often, because Norwich are so dangerous. Their attacking players look so good every time they're around the box. They've been saying that repeatedly on the commentary. And that is from people who are, you know, not seeing us all the time, but watching highlights and seeing bits of us and preparing for the game, doing the punditry. And it's exactly how I feel. You know, especially at Carrow Road, I really expect us to score almost every time we go forward, because, you know, we create chances. So, like, 20 plus chances, wasn't it, against Plymouth? You know, we are so good at creating opportunities out of next to nothing. And that's what I like about what has become Wagner's brand of football, is we do go from 0 to 60 so quickly. And it can be a sort of slightly frustrating slow passage of play and then 2 minutes of kind of really high tempo. I enjoy that. I do think we need those big points. So I'll ask the same question to you, Connor, in terms of who do you think is absolutely key? Who needs to have an 8.5+ performance if we stand a chance to make sure we're celebrating 15 years Norwich City come Saturday night?
Jack Stacey for me. I think you look at the threat of Leif Davis with Ipswich, and I think so often this season he's had an A next to his name for assist. He plays as a winger essentially, so it's going to be really interesting to see how Jack Stacey, but Norwich more widely, get that balance right, because we know how powerful he is. We know how much he wants to get up and down that line. I fear, as was the case on Monday, to be fair, that Norwich didn't quite get him out as often as they would have liked, because of the way that the Leicester set up their wide areas. And I think Davis is going to be so aggressive. He's such a threat. He's got such quality in terms of his deliveries. we're going to have to see, I think, a more rounded, more probably pragmatic Jack Stacey than the one that we've been used to seeing at Carrow Road, where he has dominated that right flank. And particularly if it is as it has been with Gabriel Sarr in front, and he's so inverted that quite often he hasn't had that much protection. So I think that for me is one I'm looking at. I mean, Punt mentioned Sarah. I think that's a big one as well in terms of that midfield area, particularly with Morsi and the sort of power that he brings. Although it was interesting to see on Monday them kind of get overran a little bit in midfield. And, you know, we were on the way back from Leicester, but listening to Dean Ashton on the radio basically talking about how they needed to get another man into midfield was quite interesting. So I think there is an opportunity there. And you know, it's Josh Sargent again, isn't it? That's the one that we're going to be looking at and talking about, because he is the difference, I think, for this Norwich City team, because of his quality in front of goal, because of the chances that he has, because of the confidence that he has. So, yeah, I think there's a few players there, but I think I'm looking at that battle between Stacey and Davis and thinking whoever wins that is going to have a really good shout to be on, if not the winning side, then definitely on the side that doesn't lose the game.
Looking at slightly past this weekend, full on run-in mode, what do you think is a realistic points haul or a realistic final flurry of points? Like we're not exactly, I don't exactly want guarantees at this stage, but based on, you know, the fixture list certainly does ease up quite a lot after, you know, this week where we're playing, you know, first and second or first and third or whatever it's going to be. You know, the likes of Sheffield Wednesday, Preston still just about in the picture, then Bristol City, Swansea, Birmingham, who by then should be either safe or relegated. It'd be very unlikely that it goes to the last game of the season. From those five games, how many points are we going to get?
Good question.
Thank you.
I think we might win three and lose a couple. And what does that leave us on? We're on 64 at the moment, so that would leave us on 73. Oof. That, in a lot of seasons, that won't get you playoffs, but I think this season it may well actually get Norwich City into sixth. But yeah, I wouldn't like... I think we'll beat Sheffield Wednesday. I think we'll beat Preston. I think Birmingham will be interesting, purely because I think they might be in it right until the last day. I think that they could well be in it.
If we need something on the last day to clinch sixth, you'd have to fancy the nerves of us clinching six outweighing the nerves of them staying up.
Don't know.
Yeah, I think the quality shows in situations like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's with Birmingham and the recent change in management, I don't know, that becomes more unpredictable.
I think they'll be all right. I think they'll be all right.
But I think Sheffield Wednesday will be all right as well. And I think QPR might find something. And like, there's all the teams down there, I think, that are capable of picking up quite a few points.
I was surprised that I heard a bit of the on the radio on the way back from the game on Saturday against Plymouth, Friday, sorry, against Plymouth. And I think it was Simon Lappin. I didn't catch him being introduced. But no, he was saying...
Yeah, okay.
And he was saying, you know, Plymouth came here giving it a real go. I thought, what game were you watching? They parked a bus. they got a goal because we completely stood off across and didn't close it down, and then neither of our centre backs thought it was worth standing within 10 yards of someone in the 6-yard box. And other than that, you know, they had the other chance where they sort of went across the box, so they went round gun and put it across the box. I think they were the only two opportunities in the first half. They had made no attempt to attack us. They were there to just try and steal things. I thought that was really strange, but I was surprised by how poor they were, given they were a team that put, what was it, 5-6 past us early in the season. Just think, how on earth have they gone so off the boil? Connor, same question to you. You've got those five games, relevant to what happens on Saturday: Wednesday, Preston, Bristol City, Swansea, Birmingham. Punt says 9 points. I think that's a little bit conservative.
Yeah, I do. Although there is a part of me that I know people have been talking about this as a two-game block with Leicester Ipswich, which I'm kind of looking at it as a four. I'm quite worried about the two away games that follow, for obviously the reasons that Punt said in terms of Sheffield Wednesday. I think they're their performances have been significantly better than their league position. Danny Royal has arguably, if he does keep them up, I think you'd be hard pressed to find anyone who's done a better job in the Championship than that. Maybe Kieran McKenna, but he's done exceptionally well. So I'm a little bit worried about that one as a game and what that will mean. And then Preston, I think, is the type of game that I don't really fancy Norwich for in general. But that would be really, I think, quite bad to lose that one, given the position that Preston are in, and the fact that, you know, I keep thinking, I look at the league table and they're the one side that you think, they'll fall away, and they haven't yet. And I think they'll be looking at that Norwich game as being really big, and I could see a situation where maybe they're going into it with a little bit more gusto than Norwich are. So my feeling has always been, if Norwich can navigate those two, and I don't know what navigate means, maybe it means 4 points, 3 points, you can decide. I'd probably say 4, I think, from those two. And if they're in the top six by the end of that, I would back them with the two home games, which I think they'll win, and Birmingham away, which I'm also think could be quite tricky depending on where Birmingham are and what they're doing. So I'm trying to calculate now, but I think I said in the international break they get 5 wins, and I don't think one of those was Leicester, so I'm saying 4 wins, I think, from 6, I think, if I'm rubbish at maths, but that would be what, that'd be 12 points, I think, that would get you in. So don't ask me where they're going to come from, but those two home games definitely, and then I think they'll pinch a couple away. I think
100% 4 wins is getting you into the playoffs.
Yes. No doubt. I think that would put you on 77. So that would be enough.
I mean, at the moment, 77 would put you in 4th as it is. But more importantly than that, that would mean that Coventry need to get 17 points from 7 games, which is a, you know, you're starting to really put a lot of, I mean, they have to be almost perfect, right? That is going to be really, really tricky. Bearing in mind that including Preston, so, you know, it's not often that you see in the kind of form table that 6th, 7th, 8th and 10th all lost their last game. You know, it really was sort of one of those rounds of fixtures where everyone went, oh, okay, well, none of us will do very well this weekend. And so the only real winners there were Middlesbrough, who sort of dropped out of the conversation. And now they don't have a game in hand on us, but if we were to lose to Preston, all of a sudden they could be 3 points back.
They're the ones, sorry to cut across, but they're the ones I'm looking at with just half an eye now. And I think they've got a pretty tough run in by all accounts, but I think they're a better side than what they've shown over this season. And I just wonder if they could, you know, go on a little bit of a run at the right time and just apply some pressure. And then it's obviously, you know, up to whether Norwich can keep a steady hand.
Well, I think that I actually, and it's rare that this is the case with Norwich, aside from Coventry, our goal difference is extremely superior, and that, you know, even if someone was to do 3 results on top of ours, you wouldn't expect much more than maybe a 6 to 8 point goal swing over three games where we've lost by 1 or 2, they've won by 1 or 2. That's not going to be enough for any of the aforementioned. The Coventry are the only ones, you know, in the teens in terms of goal difference. So that may well play a role in the fact that, you know, if it goes into the last day, it might be that we're only 3 points clear, but it's 3 points and 6 goals or what have you, which could lead to some fireworks in that weekend in May. The challenge I see it for Norwich looking into this weekend is to for the coaching staff. It's going to be, I think, obviously it'll be an absolutely bubbling, lively atmosphere at the start of the game. I think the halftime team talk. So my who has to have an 8 out of 5 day is the manager. I think Wagner has to get his players up for it to the level that they are competing from word go. I think we were a little bit sluggish in the away derby. If we're going to play it out from the back, we need to do it sharply. We need to make the decisions. And this is one of the things I don't think Duffy does. When he is involved in the passing it about at the back, he doesn't do it quickly. He dithers. And when you combine that with also not being able to have the ability to then quickly ping one, if he's under pressure, like Gibson actually can do to great effect, and both fullbacks can, both Stacey McCallum, or if Dimi was in there, he would be able to. But I think Wagner needs to get them up enough for it to match the intensity that Ipswich will be playing. Ipswich are playing to make themselves heroes, right? I mean, they will know full well what is on the line here if they are the ones to finally break the hoodoo. And I think if you also think about what Wagner's then got to do at halftime, he's either got to keep us playing the way that has got us our noses in front or kept us level, or he's got to get them to manage the noise and manage the shut out the boos if it's been awful, right? Because I agree with you, Punt. I think that there is a real groundswell of people who effectively think he's gone with anything other than promotion at the end of the season, and therefore think he hasn't done enough to prove them that they were really wrong. They've just stopped saying it out loud as much. Do you see what I mean? Like, I think that is that and therefore if it was a similar performance to bits of Plymouth where we were a bit underwhelming and a bit slow and we're two goals down, I think the players are walking into boos. And then it's down to how does Wagner manage that situation? Because let's have it right. I don't think he's got that right so far. When there has been animosity, he's been proven correct to have been stuck with because of the form and the performances he's managed to turn them into. But I haven't agreed with the way he's handled those interactions with the fans. So what say you on that?
I'd be surprised, unless it was really, really bad first half, I'd be surprised if the team walked into boos, because I think contextually the fans should be attuned to the fact that actually that would just be a really stupid idea on Derby Day. Like any other game, I could possibly see that. But I think just getting that testy and getting on the players at half time, even if we have a semblance of a chance to come back in a derby, just isn't the thing to do. I think what might be more of an issue is if the mentality is quite Leicester-esque, if we go back to the home game against Southampton, where it was just absolutely conservative, in the extreme. I think if we go into our shells, if we retreat, if we just hoof it, and then, you know, there's wave and wave of attack that we need to repel. I think stylistically, if Wagner changes too much from what he's been really successful in doing at home, then that will be the biggest issue for me. I'd like to think the crowd will be emotionally intelligent enough not to do that unless it's horrific. And I don't expect this to be horrific. Norwich?
Are we an emotionally intelligent bunch at Carrow Road? is that? I'm not sure we've ever been described as that.
Maybe I will give the crowd more credit than they're due. But look, it's Derby Day and effectively everyone needs to get behind the lads, because, you know, this is, look, Norwich are always more powerful than any football team are more powerful when their fan base is united behind them. So if there's any time to do it, it is Saturday lunchtime.
I think you're right on that point, that if, I mean, we're doom casting to a degree in terms of where, but I mean,
ask the question, right? If we're 3-0 up, how happy will we all be? Ask it that way, mate.
That was what I said at the start of the Wagner point. You know, if we're 1-0 up, it is just as crucial a halftime team talk and a tactical set of instructions. Like they are going to come flying at us. We know they keep going till the 97th minute. It is important that all week he has drilled into those players, the game is not won until the final whistle, to maybe a greater extent than has ever been true. Like, to, you know, some of the decisions that the players made when running down the clock against Plymouth, they are not the decisions to make against a team flying for promotion. And okay, an element of that was that Plymouth weren't exactly giving signs of life. But at the same time, you know, if I'm in his coaching bubble, that is what I am. That is what we are preaching this week. We do not want to be giving late winners away in this scenario. And we're sixth in the league. We're 4 points from seventh. We are one of the form teams of 2024. We've only lost twice. You know, we haven't gone into a derby in better form many times in any of the three of our kind of careers of watching Norwich. Now, we've been far higher up in the table than Norwich several times, But we are in generally, in the last 3 months, fantastic form to be going into any big game. And I personally, and I'm going to break with tradition, I'm guaranteeing a score draw. I think it's going to be, it could be 2-2 again, could be 3-3, could be like a Southampton style 4-4. I think we're going to slug it out. We're going to keep creating chances. I am worried about our ability to keep the door shut at the other side, but they are vulnerable and we're really good going forward. So I'm going 3-3 and I'm going Sara 2 goals and obviously Sarge scoring because he always does. Punt guaranteed scorers and scoreline, please.
After that, just to be contrary, I'm going to have to go for 0-0. After I'd said earlier in the pod that
if I did bet, I'd put a lot of money on it not being 0-0 with those two with those two going at each other.
But I think just going back to the point that you were making, and you know, and Wagner and how important he is, and it's mentality, isn't it? Like, yeah. It's absolutely mentality, because against some of the better sides, it's been proven that either he started, you know, kind of with Norwich City in their shell, or when we've got a goal to the good, will very much protect that. And I just don't think that works against an Ipswich side who, to all intents and purposes, have been pretty relentless this season. So I do hope that, you know, Tom, that he is listening to this and he has taken on board your words and he is drilling them at Colney that this needs to be a 90-minute performance full of intensity.
97 minutes.
Yeah, all right. Yes, good point. I won't say 0-0. I am going to guarantee that Josh Sargent will get his 10th goal in a row at Carrow Road. And that we will, or yeah, 10 goals. Is it 10 goals in 10 games or 11? It would make that 11 goals in 10 games, whatever his run is. It's stupid.
It's a lot.
It's quite a lot of goals. And that we will win 2-1 in a very edgy, nervy derby. So both my girls got season tickets this season. This is their first ever derby that they've attended. We've got to win, right? Just got to win for them.
I hope so. Connor, guaranteed scoreline, guaranteed scorers, please.
Yeah, I was very much with you, Tom, on the score draw feeling, and I've been on that for a while. Derbies are cagey, edgy. They don't tend to be great games of football, to be honest, just in terms of like even for a neutral, let alone when you're sort of emotionally invested in it. So, I can see with the respective defences of the sides for all the reasons that you guys have discussed. I think it's feels like there's goals in it, which maybe does lend it to a 0-0. So I've kind of been thinking 2-2 a week, but I'll go for something more specific. I'll say Norwich City to continue their run of scoring from brilliant corners and brilliant set piece routines.
Love that.
Do you want who would score as well? Or,
well, yes, you need to guarantee who it is going to be.
Okay. Well, Sargent will get one, and I will go with a Kenny McLean header. From a corner.
Oh, I'd like that because I do love him ever so much. We'll talk. That is where he constantly keeps trying to do that Manchester City header, and he hasn't replicated it yet. We'll talk player of the season. Speaking of Kenny, we'll talk player of the season on upcoming episode. But look, here it is. It is the big one. It's the one that we've been dreading for a lot of the season, looking forward to for a big portion of the season, and then it kind of feels like we're sort of dreading it again. But you know, if it happens, we've had an incredible run. If they win, we've had an incredible run, right? 14 odd years. It's very unlikely to be repeated that they're going to go that long without losing to us. So that is something that we've got. That's something that we've got that can't be taken away on one game of football. They win one game of football, whatever. We've still got the rest of Saturday. You're going to have a drink, going to have a walk. It's sort of springtime. We've still got 5 games left. We're still going to be in the playoffs, whatever happens come Saturday night. You know, it's not that big deal. However, if we do manage to draw, or even better, if we do manage to win, it'll be 15 years and counting, and it'll be one hell of a party. See you Saturday. Mind how you go.